The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 24, verse 18 to 27. Please turn to page 140 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Amen. In John chapter 9, there is a story about Jesus walking with his disciples when they encounter a man who had been blind from birth. The disciples thought that this man's life was meaningless. In fact, they believed he was being punished by God. So they asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" There is a saying in our Proverbs, "Don't just refuse to give alms, also don't break the beggar's bowl," which implies that it is bad enough not to give alms, but even worse to harm the beggar further. The disciples not only refused to help the blind man, but they also condemned him as a sinner, and furthermore, condemned his parents as sinners. However, Jesus saw the blind man from a different perspective than his disciples. John chapter 9, verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Jesus declared emphatically, this man's blindness is not the result of sin. He's not cursed by God. Even through his blindness, God's works are revealed. Viewing someone's appearance or circumstances as the result of sin or a curse from God versus seeing them as an opportunity to manifest God's works or reveal His glory leads to completely different outcomes. Jesus looked at the man born blind differently than the disciples or others did, not only because he is the light of the world, but also because he, the Son of God, who created this man, was with him in the present. Thus, if we are aware that the Lord who created us is with us now, the way we view our lives will completely change. Jesus spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and applied it to the man's eyes. Then he said, John chapter 9, verse 7, "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed, and came back seeing. The Lord was with him in the present, but he could not see Jesus. But after he washed his eyes in Siloam, he could see again. He could see very clearly Jesus, who was with them in the present, repeatedly. Just think of the emotional impact of the classic novel Shimcheongjeon, where the blind Sim Hak-gyu regained his sight due to the filial piety of his daughter Chung, who was sacrificed into the sea for 300 bags of rice, and finally sees his daughter. How much more moving is it that a man born blind could open his eyes and see Jesus Christ? Yet, despite such a moving event, there were those who reacted cynically and looked with eyes of condemnation. They were the Pharisees. Because this event happened on the Sabbath, they accused Jesus, who performed the miracle on the Sabbath, of being a sinner. Thus, the Pharisees asked the man who had regained his sight twice, "How were your eyes opened?" He consistently answered, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." Then the Pharisees said, "Give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner," coercing him to join in condemning Jesus. It was completely a case of 답정너. The answer is already decided. You just need to confirm it. However, the man who regained his sight responded clearly. John chapter 9, verse 25. "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." This man was literally seeing the world for the first time. What he saw was not something we, who can see, encounter in everyday lives. When Jesus opened his eyes, he was no longer the person he used to be. By gaining his sight, he was able to live a life filled with light, moving from a life that had been filled with darkness. If he remembers the grace of the Lord who opened his eyes without him even asking. What he sees will also reflect a more dazzling new life. Today's text also testifies about the event where Jesus opened the eyes of two men heading to a village called Emmaus. These two men, who firmly believed Jesus was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and the one to redeem Israel, were saddened as they headed to Emmaus because Jesus had not performed a miraculous comeback before his crucifixion, like scoring a winning goal or hitting a walk-off home run. The testimonies about the empty tomb seen by Mary Magdalene and other women, and the angels they saw, as well as the empty tomb reported by Peter and John, had no effect on them. Despite their intense discussions about Jesus on their way to Emmaus, their talk was about a Jesus who had died a futile death, not about the risen Jesus. Although the resurrected Jesus was walking with them, to them, Jesus was a figure of the past in the third person. Verse 28 to 29, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. Finally, they arrived at the village of Emmaus. However, Jesus, who was accompanying them, did not seem inclined to stop, but intended to continue on his way. At this, the two men strongly urged him to come into the house with them. The literal meaning of strongly urge is to use force to persuade someone. To explain further, it means dragging someone by the arm into the house, whether they are willing or not. It is not easy to insist so strongly on bringing someone into one's home, especially when he is essentially a stranger to them, though not in reality, as in their perception, it was their first meeting. For instance, let's say I was sharing the gospel with a few people while walking along the Han River, and one of them accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. It does not mean that this person would easily take me to their home. Also, it is rare for someone to nearly force me to stay by saying, "Please, even just for one night, stay at our house," especially after I mentioned I have prior engagements and must go elsewhere. If someone really did act this way, it would mean something special had occurred in their heart, and they felt a strong pull towards the other person. Jesus then entered the house with the two men and shared a meal with them. Verse 30. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. This scene is not unfamiliar to us. When Jesus was in his public ministry, he often had little time to rest due to the crowds that followed him. He preached the kingdom of God and healed those who were sick in body, mind, and soul. During his ministry in Bethsaida, located on the northeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, the day was drawing to a close, yet his work seemed endless. The 12 disciples said to Jesus, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." But Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." He emphasized "you," meaning it was their responsibility to provide for the people gathered there. However, the crowd numbered about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The disciples replied, "All we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." But what Jesus did next was this: "Take the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over." Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up to heaven and blessed them, then broke them and gave them to the disciples to distribute. The disciples must have been very busy carrying the broken pieces of bread and fish. The food they shared was enough to fill everyone in the remote area, and there were even 12 basketfuls of leftovers. This miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 occurred as the second Passover of Jesus' public ministry approached. Jesus died as the Passover lamb. Thus, the event of the 5 loaves and 2 fish symbolizes not just the breaking and sharing of bread and fish, but the offering of himself. Additionally, on the evening of the day he was arrested, Jesus had his last supper with his disciples on this earth. The scene is described as follows. Luke chapter 22, verse 19 to 20. "And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" Just like during the feeding of the 5,000, he took bread and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. Thus, both at the time of the feeding of the 5,000 and at the Last Supper, the act was essentially a communion service. Therefore, the expressions of the 4 verbs, took, gave thanks, broke, and gave, in verse 30, are the same words used both during the feeding of the 5,000, the Last Supper, and in today's text. So, the meal that Jesus shared with the 2 men was not just a meal, but a communion service. It was a medium that recalled the Last Supper with his disciples, which had occurred just 3 days earlier, and it opened the eyes of the 2 men. Of course, these 2 men, Cleopas and another, were not present at the Last Supper, but they would have heard about it from the disciples. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. This passage emphasizes two words. The first is eyes. Luke highlights that these two men moved from spiritual ignorance to enlightenment. Previously, they were not physically blind, but spiritually, they were in complete darkness, as if seeing nothing at all. The second emphasized term in their eyes were opened is opened. Opened here means unlocked, and the verb is used in the passive voice, not active. It wasn't because the blind man from our earlier discussion strained his eyes with all his might, nor was it due to any special physical restorative ability that transformed his unseeing eyes into seeing ones. He did not even know Jesus was present until Jesus spat on the ground, made mud, and applied it to his eyes. It was when the creative power of the Lord touched him with this mud that he was finally able to see. This is not only true for the blind man or the two men who went to Emmaus, but also for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Our knowledge of God and the enlightenment of the eyes of our hearts are not because of our intelligence or goodness, but because God the Father has given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The fact that the eyes of our hearts have been enlightened by the spirit of wisdom and revelation given by God implies that before this, our hearts' eyes were in a state of darkness. Because God opened our eyes, we have been able to accept Jesus of Nazareth as our Savior, Jesus Christ, and believe that his crucifixion was meant to save us eternally. We could also realize that not everything is visible to the eye, and we can believe in the eternal nature of things unseen. Furthermore, even though the world constantly tempts us to live by secular values, we have come to understand that we are meant to live for the Lord and his kingdom. And to truly live that life, we should open our windows to him. When I was ministering in Geneva, the Korean Church of Geneva, though situated in Western Europe, placed great importance on serving Eastern Europe. Thus, it sponsored several missionaries and supported gatherings such as retreats. Generally, countries like Germany, Italy, Switzerland, France, the United Kingdom, Spain, and Portugal are considered Western Europe. while countries like Austria, Croatia, Poland, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary, and Romania are regarded as Eastern Europe. Of course, people from Poland, the Czech Republic, the Hungary consider themselves to be in Central Europe. Missionaries serving in Eastern Europe would gather in one area during the summer for about 3 nights and 4 days for a retreat. This retreat was a time for missionaries to step away from their ministries and recharge. The year I returned to my home country, the Eastern Europe missionary retreat was held near Paris, France, and I had the opportunity to attend. Upon arrival at the retreat center, I registered and received a handbook. On the back cover of the handbook was the retreat schedule, and on the inside back cover was a list of 21 instructions for effective progress. Among them were, please register. Children will be taken care of by the Korean Baptist Foreign Mission Board. There will be an offering time on Wednesday evening. Please make sure to return your keys and name tag before you leave. And there were more. But one item caught my eye. It read, Brother Blank will serve at cost. Acupressure, cupping, acupuncture. 지압 부항 침. He was a brother who attended to lead worship. Suddenly, I thought I should go see him. For several years, my wrist had not been well. There was no significant inconvenience in daily life, but I could not bend my wrist upward, and there was pain when pressing on it. I could not lift anything very heavy, and my wrist would ache after carrying something slightly heavy. Being abroad, I did not dare to seek medical treatment, thinking it would get better on its own. On the second day at lunchtime, I sought out this brother. Up to that point, I had never received acupressure, had cupping cups attached to draw out blood, or had acupuncture. The brother touched my wrist and asked, your wrist is very stiff. Did you have a severe impact? A few years earlier, I had a painful wrist after a rough collision with someone, and another time when teaching my son how to ride a bike, I fell forward, hurting my wrist. When I mentioned these two incidents, he said they seemed to be the cause and my wrist wasn't circulating blood well. He then pricked my wrist several times with needles and applied cupping cups a few times. Dark, clotted blood came out from my wrist. After the treatment, he said it would gradually get better and I shouldn't mind it too much. The next day, he also put needles in my hand, arm, and shoulder. After the cupping on my wrist, it felt much freer. However, there was another word before Brother Blank offers services at cost, acupressure, cupping, acupuncture. It was visually impaired. This brother could not see. Though I wear glasses and have eyes that can distinguish things, I was in dark regarding my own body's condition. But this brother, despite being unable to see the objects of the world, could accurately understand the condition of my hand just by holding my wrist. His vision, when it came to the body, was open. The two men on the road to Emmaus were also blind, but they did not realize their blindness. Therefore, even though the resurrected Jesus Christ walked with them, they did not recognize that he was the Lord. And when they reached the village of Emmaus, it was evening, and darkness had fallen. In our lives too, when dusk falls and night arrives, no matter how perfect our eyes are, we cannot see ahead clearly. At that time, do not forget that Jesus Christ, the light of our life, is walking with us. When the Lord spoke to the two men walking to Emmaus and shared with them the bread symbolizing his body, their eyes were opened and they became witnesses of the Lord. Faith is about having our eyes opened. Therefore, if we simply recognize that the resurrected Jesus Christ is walking with us, entrust our lives to His plan and will, and open our eyes windows, our lives will inevitably be renewed each day. Even when the circumstances of our life seem difficult and hard, we can endure and overcome because of the one who walks with us. And when everything in our lives goes smoothly, recognizing and confessing that it is the grace of the one walking with us prevents us from being proud. There is no more blessed life than one where our eyes are opened toward the Lord. We obey His will and surrender ourselves by opening our windows. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the man born blind did not know of your presence until you spat on the ground and made mud to anoint his eyes. But the touch of your hand applying the mud and your words telling him to wash in the pool of Siloam were expressions of your love and grace. Your love and grace opened his eyes. To the two men walking toward Emmaus, who were inevitably shrouded in despair, fear, failure, and sorrow, and unaware of their own blindness, you spoke through the writings of Moses and the prophets and all the scriptures. When you broke and blessed the bread, it was an act of your love and grace. Your love and grace enlightened their eyes. We are not the only recipients of such love and grace. We too have received them, allowing us to be here in this worship and to confirm your companionship. We ask you, even when our lives seem to be drawing to a close, to open our eyes and make them bright. Allow us always to recognize you walking with us and to enjoy your love and grace. Let our faith and lives become conduits for your love and grace that brighten the eyes of others. May we open our windows towards you each day. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.